Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Brethren, this morning we will begin by looking at the fruit that God looks for. When we keep saying we must be fruitful, we must be fruitful, we must be fruitful, and we are saying if we are not fruitful, what will happen? If we refuse fruitfulness, what the matter will be? All of that. What then is the fruit that God looks for? I want somebody to read from Galatians 5, from verse 22 to 23, after which I will read the same passage, but from three translations put together. Galatians 5, 22 to 23.
Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
May God give increase to His word in the name of Jesus. Is there another translation that you want to read from? Is there another translation that anybody wants to read from? It's okay. Go ahead. Living Bible. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives,
it will produce this kind of fruit in us.
If he's the one that is producing, if he's the one that controls our lives, this is what he will do in us.
Love.
Actually, I wouldn't have wanted you to read from Living Bible because it's part of what I will read from. But it's okay. Go ahead since you've started.
Love.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Patience.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
And self-control.
And self-control.
And yet there is no conflict with Jewish laws.
And here, there is no conflict with any law or any constitution anywhere in the world. Amen. No, there is no conflict with it. Yes? You want to read? Okay. Is there any other translation?
Amplified.
No, don't read from Amplified. I'm reading from Amplified Message and Translation for Translators. Translation.
Okay, God's Word.
New Living, NLT. Okay, go ahead. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He produces this kind of fruits in us.
Love.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Patience.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
And self-control.
And self-control.
Yeah, there's no conflict with the law.
Yeah, there's no conflict at all with any law. Is there Good News Bible? Is there Good News Bible? Yes.
But the Spirit produces love.
For the Spirit produces love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Patience.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Humility. And
humility and self-control.
There is no law against such things.
There is no law anywhere in the world that says if somebody is too good or too humble, or if somebody is kind, you must lock him up because it's a danger to society. Amen. There's no law anywhere that says that. Do you notice that somehow we have always thought that the fruit of the Spirit is what we will produce? Amen? I don't know about you. You know, you have always thought, you know, I need to be more patient. Some of us have thought, we've thought, I need to be more kind. Wait, sometimes the way I shun people, it's not good to be shunning people like that. Yeah, was it yesterday that I was talking about fruits that is meat for repentance? It was yesterday, Abby? Or 2 days ago? Okay. Remember I was saying something about no more self-effort. Amen. I suffered when I came into church. Suffered a lot of things. I was born again outside of the church. Okay? That means I wasn't in a meeting. You understand? And before I came to church, I've been walking with God and it was sweet. But the moment I came to church, they just scattered everything. That's not how to walk with God. And it took me years to retrace my steps back. God said, the way I started with you, let us go back to that one. Amen. And somebody that I've been talking to God, then suddenly doesn't understand how to pray. Because when you see some people that pray, I didn't know that their prayers were not reaching the ceiling. I didn't know. Amen. I don't know. Have you ever thought about it that, you know, I need to produce fruit of the Spirit. I need to... Huh? No. You are not the one that produces it. It is the Holy Spirit that produces it. All you need to do, as I kept saying since 3 days ago, is to stay under control. That's all. If you're under His control, if you're under His hand, He will produce these things naturally. For He is not barren. Why will He produce those things? Huh? Because He's not barren. That's why. Amen. Why will He produce them? Let's assume I'm barren. No problem. But God, the Holy Spirit, once you give Him the throne room in your heart, and He comes into your life and He sits as Lord, He starts to walk. Amen. The problem is that He's not sitting well. Yeah. Do you understand? So many other things. I think Saron Ke was asking us to pray this morning about idols, Sabi. So many other things are sitting where you should be sitting. I only look back at my life and I saw all those giftings, all those fruits rather, at work. When they came, I didn't know. I never knew every nudging of the Holy Spirit, every instruction of the Holy Spirit, every direction of the Holy Spirit, as I obeyed them, I never knew that my obedience to them is actually doing what now? Working out these things. I never knew. I just found out that that's the way it is. Amen. How can you ever be a good child to your parents if you are not bearing fruits of the Spirit? How can you be a good husband? By any small thing. I mean, I know cases of men that this particular one, I've had it before. Because he's angry with his wife. She said something, and because he's angry, threw his car keys at her, blinded her eye. Because he's angry. Is that one not an animal? If she was the one that blinded his eye, will the matter finish? Would they not say, wife, blind husband? But you know, we live in a very, very demonic culture that is steeped in injustice. And of course, because he had money, nobody didn't go to jail. Somebody that should be locked up forever, that should not come out. Because you are angry, blinded somebody else. You still want to sleep with that same woman. Abi? We say, I'm sorry, finish it. It's a matter about being sorry. What could she have done that you blinded her? We don't know that what separates us from unbelievers, it's not that we go to church, it's not that on Sundays we wear costume. Amen. What separates us from unbelievers is that we behave like God where they don't. Simple. And an unbeliever knows what a Christian should look like. So the next time you want to fight conduct over your 100 naira change, and you want to remind him that can't you see that there's recession? Huh? You remember that you could cause stumbling. Amen. Few people here have had me say this before. I gave a conductor 500 naira. I think whether the thing was And that was all the money on me. Because some of you, if it's 50 naira, you can leave it. Some of it's 100 naira. Some of your limit is 200. Anything above 200, you will abandon the gospel. Say it's cheating. Gave him 500. That was all the money on me. And I was not near my house. And he said he has given me change. Whether the change was supposed to be 400 or 450, I can't remember. But it's not less than 400. And that's all the money on me. And he said he has given me. I said, you didn't give me anything. He said, no, I've given you. And you know the way they behave. I was nearing my bus stop. And I said, you have not given me this change. Say, what's your problem? Say you search my pockets. There's no other money on me. You didn't give me change. I've given you. I know when things like that happen, most of the time people keep quiet until you start fighting yourselves. That's when they will remember that they should mediate. So the guy got to my bus stop. I said, I'm getting down. So when I got down, I looked at him and I told him, you didn't give me my change. But I leave you in the hands of God. And I was going. I don't know what happened, though. The bus stayed there because I had walked far. The bus was still there. Then he ran after me and said, come and take your chain. Come and take your chain. Me, what happened? I don't know. Now, am I saying that every time the conductor do that to you, the bus will wait? Is that what I'm telling you? That's not what I'm telling you, because the bus may not wait. The bus may go. But it is beautiful to suffer for righteousness' sake. Amen. The only time I was arrested in my life was because a policeman asked me a question and I said the truth. Amen. Because I was more afraid to disobey God. All I need to do is just deny what he's saying. Because I was taking pictures and I wasn't even taking their picture. They said, who is the man in this bus taking picture? Since it was me, I said, this is me. Amen. So you are taking a picture of police. I didn't take your picture. Because they couldn't even operate the phone. So all I need to do is delete it and say I didn't take any picture. But I'm sure Satan was waiting for me. Man of God. Liar of God. I would never have forgiven myself. It took me and my family almost a year because I had to turn out a court case and all of that. Because I said the truth. But I was more afraid to disobey God than I was afraid of the policeman and the things that it would bring. When we are talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit that the Holy Spirit, that is the work which is presence within, accomplishes. Or when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, it will produce these kinds of fruit in us. We will love others. We are joyful. We are peaceful. We are patient. We are kind. We are good. We are the ones whom others can trust. We are gentle. We control our behavior. There's no law that says people should not think and act in such ways. Amen. That is from Amplified Bible, Living Bible, and T4T translations. Nine kinds of fruits, or one kind of fruit with nine, is it varieties? Amen. You know the way you have just one ice cream, or you have different, what do you call it now? Varieties, Abby? The same way you have just one fruit, but different varieties. So we have nine varieties of just one fruit. All of this should be in us and should abound in us. So we need to start questioning ourselves whether or not we have them. The Holy Spirit doesn't seek to abide in us just for no reason. And beyond the present clamor of men desirous of spiritual power and doing everything possible so that they can be filled with the anointing, His primary reason for coming into our lives is not so that we can feel powerful. Amen. And yesterday, I was saying that it is not because we ourselves have never touched spiritual power before. So, we are raising opposition against spiritual gifts. No. No. So, I'll share with you one testimony of what God has done. Amen. And He found people as poor and as weak as us to use. It's just to drive home that point that I'm not attacking spiritual gifts unnecessarily, because it has kept a lot of people under bondage. So when somebody is misbehaving and is leading you towards hell, but because he has spiritual gifts, what is he? He's man of God and you must touch not. Even though Jesus called Pharisees blind guides of the blind, that if the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into a ditch. People say, no, when he prays like this, God hears. Once he lay hand on you, if he prays for your business, Amen. I found out that when I pray over water for people's business, that's not what I want to say. I just want to say this one. If I bless water and you sprinkle it around your business, you'll be selling as if. So I know something that my mother, because once she complained to me that she wasn't selling, so I prayed over the water at a point of contact and asked her to sprinkle it at her shop. The next thing I found out was, by a week later, she said that water is about to finish, so she wants to top it. I said, Jesus is Lord, I'm in trouble. I've started becoming Babalomi. So I stopped. God did not put his power in my life so that I can be gathering market women and they'll be putting water in front. No. Once, some of our family friends who were not born again, they called us urgently that there's a problem. One of their daughters, about 17 years old at the time, had a dream about 3 days ago where she was gang raped. Amen. Of course, she was a virgin. She was just a little girl. But the moment she woke up, she started bleeding. You know, which simply meant it was a spiritual thing. And so, when the bleeding continued and didn't stop, they called they were Muslim, so they called their priest. They did all those things that they used to do. Of course, the blood did not stop. So, by the third day was when they called us. So, my mother came to my room and told me about it, that this is happening. And since me, I'm not powerful. Amen. I asked the Lord, because my mother was saying that she would please go there and pray for her, that she believes if I go to pray for her, she'll be healed. You see how people set up people? So I asked the Lord, Lord, what are you saying about this? And he said, but this one is just 3 days now. The woman that touched me, her own was 12 years. Ask her to touch me. I need to dry up. Okay. Since there's a word, that means we are sent. Amen. So I got to the house. By the time I got there, the father is late now. Remove his slippers and said, please, no matter what you do, don't convert her. If not, I will kill myself. I will die. I said, I'm just here to pray. Amen. Am I not just there to pray? I was just there to pray. So when I got to the room, I asked her if she has a Bible. She says she doesn't have a Bible. Of course, I brought an extra Bible. So I asked her to open. She opened the Bible and we read the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And I said that woman touched Jesus. I said, can you see that this woman's own is 12 years? How old is your own? She said 3 days. She said, it's not even up to 1 week, sir. I said, but this woman touched Jesus and instantly what was wrong with her for 12 years finished, it ended. So I said, if you will touch Jesus today, amen, what will happen? You will be okay. She said, really? I said, yes. I said, but even if you touch Jesus now, we pray for you now, and the whole thing goes away, Satan can bring something else, since you are not safe, and since you have not come under the banner of his cross. So you must be born again. Amen. Is it not simple? Very simple. So, she was prayed for. She got born again. And I left from my house. When I left, I was afraid. I said, hey, God, please, answer this prayer. Then he asked me, whose name did you use to pray for her? I said, your name. He said, if it didn't happen, who would be ashamed? I said, it's you. I said, so what's your problem? Don't worry yourself about it. By the time I called her, she said, I called her like an hour after I got home. She said, it has gone down 70%. No, she said it has gone down like 20%. You understand? I said, don't worry, I'll call again. I called again some couple of hours. It has gone down 50%. Called again, it has gone down 70%. It has gone down 90%. Before the end of that day, it dried up. So, it's not that we talk and we talk against spiritual gifts because, you know, but since they don't have anything. No, that's not why. If the Lord asks me to hold a healing meeting, we will use, let's say it's a 5 days meeting, we will use 4 days to teach an appointment to Jesus, sick people. So that once they exercise their faith, what happens? People are not healed because you are powerful. No, people are healed because God is true. And if you point men to them, it will show them that he's God. Simple. Amen. Same thing with whether it is word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I have testimonies on all those things. But I found that those things don't save people. That somebody now has fruit of the womb, but somebody now has husband. Is a guarantee that he will enter heaven? Eh? No. That may even be why he won't enter. You understand? So that's not the issue. All praise and all glory to his name in the name of Jesus. For he's the one who does all things. Like I told you before, Peter said to them, why are you looking at us as if by our own power or by our own holiness this man is standing? No, it is by faith in the name of Jesus that this man whom you know is standing. Not because anybody is powerful or somebody has gone to fast. LTV8. Is that not how they say on radio? When the announcement is feed the pride. Amen. This is why Jesus said, by their fruits we shall know them. Before God and in the spirit realm, men are not known by how much anointing they have. Instead, they are identified by how much they have become like Jesus and how much control they have allowed the Holy Spirit to exercise over them. Amen. Satan knows. See, he doesn't have much fear of somebody that has power. He has every fear for somebody who has spiritual authority. Amen. If he's truly living in you, since he's not barren, the Bible says, the first work that his presence within will accomplish is that he will produce in you fruits. Fruits that will abide. Amen. That's what he will do. But I see people who speak in tongues, but they are still lying. Huh? Oh, he's still a liar. He can still bribe police, can still bribe all manner of people. And he's speaking in tongues. Number one, fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce is love. Amen. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that is the work which his presence within accomplishes, or when he controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. We will love others. Amen. The first and the greatest of such gifts, of such fruits is love. What did I say? The first and the greatest of such fruits that you will produce is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. We'll read both of them. And this is always where the Holy Spirit seeks to begin his work. Amen. This is where he always seeks to begin. Yes, 1 Corinthians 12:31. Particularly in the Amplified Bible, the New Edition. 1 Corinthians 13:13 in any translation is okay.
1 Corinthians 12:31.
Yes.
Amplified. but earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts, if acquiring them is going to be your goal.
You have not finished now.
And yet, I will show you a still more excellent way, one of the choicest graces and the highest of them all, unselfish love.
What is the highest of them all?
Unselfish love.
Love. First Corinthians 13:13.
And now there remain faith, that is abiding trust in God and His promises, hope, that is confident expectation and of eternal salvation, love, that is unselfish love for others, growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love.
Brethren, what is the greatest thing?
Love.
Yet, what is the first thing that the Holy Spirit produces?
Love.
Now, love is a command. Amen? Amen? But it's also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because they asked Jesus in Matthew 22, Master, what is the greatest commandment? I want you to read that place in Amplified Bible, the classic edition. Matthew 22, from verse, I think it's from verse 34. Yes, it's from verse 34, classic edition. My emphasis there is on verse 36, even though Jesus has not yet answered the question at verse 36. Who is reading
Matthew 22:34?
Yes.
Now, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Verse 35. And
sorry,
one,
you are not reading classic. You are reading the new Amplified. It's the old Amplified I want. After silence, there should be muzzled there. So why didn't you read it now? Give him. Be quick about it. Yes, verse 35 now.
And one of their number, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him.
Yes.
Teacher,
yes.
Which kind of commandment is great and important? That is the principal kind in the law. Some commandments are light, which are heavy.
Hold on. Some commandments are what?
Are light.
They are light. Which ones are very heavy? Which ones matter most to God? What did Jesus say?
And he replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Yes.
And with all your soul.
Yes.
And with all your mind.
Yes.
That is your intellect.
Yes.
This is the great.
This is the great.
That is the most important.
That is the most important.
Principal.
The principal.
And the first commandment.
And the first commandment. Yes.
And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself.
Yes. Go ahead.
These two commandments sum up.
These two commandments
sum up.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. These two commandments
sum
up. Yes.
And upon them depend all the law and the prophets.
The entire Bible is simply what? If you want to summarize the Bible, what is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all. So if you're having a problem, I don't even know what to do in the Bible. The things to obey are so much. Obey those two. And you'd have obeyed every other thing. Romans 9 or 10? Says that also. It says, whatever law that is there, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, you shall not do. You know, it simply says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, upon this rest the whole law and the prophets. What I have found out, brethren, is this. Before I even define what love is and all of that, the Bible says in Romans 5:5, And hope does not make ashamed. For God has what? Poured out His love in our hearts. By who? By the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. So when I see somebody who is not loving, I see somebody who is resisting the Holy Spirit. Simple. For if He's at work in you, what will He produce first? You won't know why you just begin to love God more. You won't know. I said love is both a command and it's also what now? A fruit of the Spirit. It's a command that we are expected to obey, yet that's the first thing that the Holy Spirit wants to help us to do. How much are we loved by God? Something that should have been difficult, it comes into our lives primarily to do what now? To make us to be able to do it and to make it easy. Love, as I said here also, and this is always where the Holy Spirit seeks to begin His work from. If He will do anything at all in you, what's the first thing He wants to do? He wants to make you more loving. That's the first thing He wants to do. Every other thing else that I'm going to be explaining later, they are expressions of love. What are they? All they are. Kindness, goodness. Faithfulness. They are just simply loving your neighbor as yourself. Because you wish that if any other person sees you, they should be kind to you. Is it not so? That they should be good to you. That they should be faithful to you. If they say A, their A should be A, should not be Z. Patience. So love your neighbor as yourself, even though there's still the part of patience where it is that you are loving God. All of that should be explained, okay? Now, if you're looking at the regions of the world, the regions of the world, apart from a place like Middle East, where is a place where people almost don't show affection at all? Answer me. Or you don't know. You don't know. Okay, I'll explain what I mean. If somebody goes on top of a skyscraper now and says he wants to jump down, and is in Europe or the Americas, whether North America or South America, what will happen immediately? There will be police presence there. People will be there. Let him not jump. Oh. Is it not so? Then there will be a negotiator that's begging him not to jump and blah, blah, blah. Is it not so? In Nigeria or in Africa, if you want to jump, will people notice you? They'll be going their way. Then when police come, what would they say? Where the man want to jump? I say, stupid boy, jump. If you're not jumping, sergeant, go and push him. Since he wants to die. Even we, where they never pay our salary, we will not die. Amen. So most of us in Africa, okay, that's now a bit far. So the place I'm talking about is Africa. The least place where affection is shown is here. Where life doesn't mean anything. Do you notice that it doesn't matter to you anymore the number of people that you hear die? Yeah, you know it doesn't. You are not shaking anymore. 800 died between December 25th, or is it 24th, till around January at Kaduna. All we say is we only condemn the killing of children, all the people in government resign. If it's in sinner crimes, people will resign that they couldn't protect the people that were under them. They're busy saying, no, it's not me. No, it's the other person. No, it's that one. It's that one. And 800 people. That's almost 1,000 people. And all of us, what is it? Are we not 170 million? We're almost 200 million. What is 800 and 200 million? Amen. Now, when I bring it down to the family level, how many of us here did our fathers constantly hug us, maybe every day, hug you, kiss you, when you were growing up? Amen. Amen. I've never, till my father died, I never thought I embraced him. I'm trying to think back. It's not because I have time for better. No, it's not better things that we are hardened. We are hardened. That's the issue. Amen. Now, why I'm saying these things is so that you can see our need for love. Even between husband and wife, sometimes when you see husband and wife walking, it's only in Nigeria that you see whether the wife is in front, the husband is at the back, or they are on two different sides of the road. It's only in Nigeria or Africa generally. The husband is on this side of the road, the wife is on the other side. And they'll be going and see, they don't know themselves. They came from the same house. Only here. Now, if you're from people that are like that, there's a problem. Because how you saw how people show affection, maybe the only way, when your father is part of you, maybe all he does is, well done. And that's all. Is that how to show someone that you love them? So most of us grew up with a battered psyche. Amen. We're not emotionally healthy. We're not emotionally whole. So, and self-identity complex, okay? I mean normal, healthy complex, not inferiority complex or superiority complex, should be formed from home. Because the children know that they are loved and cherished and appreciated, okay? That's where it should be formed from. So that by the time they come to the society, they will not be struggling to prove anything. Since they are already confident in whom they are. Amen. The only form of affection that you have ever known, maybe it's your mother. And it's not even that maybe she hugs you. It's only maybe when she's sad or when she's very happy that she will hug you. You know? And I'm not blaming her. How much love did she herself get? Is she not somebody that has something that gives it? So, if you look at us, generally speaking, that's the way we're brought up. And sadly, you came up hardened. That's why you see the African is always so rude. Sometimes when I'm reading newspapers online, and I see the way they talk to themselves. This person didn't say anything that warrants thunder, fire your mouth. And that's what you just say. I'm wondering. So uncouth. So unprincipled. So brutish. So nasty. Why? Maybe as he's even doing the typing, maybe it was the barber shop next door that he charged the phone. Maybe it's under heat. And as he's under heat there in his one room apartment, mosquito is still biting him. So obviously he will react in a very nasty way to anybody. So I thought that maybe once we come into the church, all of that will change. Alas, no. If you walk in love, you'll never put stumbling block before somebody else. If you walk in love, okay? But, of course, the moment you come to church, you start seeing how people compete with clothes. You know, particularly women. Particularly. Wear something and start dancing some makene. Better be looking. Ain't it at the jenipa? Amini number one. Amini. So whether they bought new car, even if their houses is 2-3 minutes drive away from the church, they will bring car. And I found out that where we are not shown the truth, where we are not given the truth, of course, we are just glorified Africans who are now carrying Bible. But the same way, that's when something happens to a brother or a sister. There's this, sister, sorry. Very wicked, very evil. You know? That's why. The moment somebody buys a car, you start feeling bad about yourself. In the church, when the Holy Spirit begins to work in you, we won't even need to tap it and say, my own is next, man. Why are we constantly saying that when we pray over cars? Why must your own be next? If the way Satan meant to kill you is by car accident, and God wants to save you by not giving you a car yet, if he answers, your own must be next. Will you not die? But if what the brother brought is B2, we will not say my own is next. Though. We will not say that. We will not say that my own is next. Then you start feeling bad about yourself. Then you start looking at the brother somehow. Then the moment something bad happens to that brother, maybe the car had an accident or something. Like with amounts of money. All these young men, when they buy cars, you know, they're just running anyhow. That's what you start saying. Why? Because there's a deficiency within. There's a lack within. He's not self-sufficient within because he's not confident in how much God loves him. That's why. Why did I go all that long journey? It's because you need this fruit. Amen. Many of us brothers here, thank God for the Bible. Though, the way you are planning to treat your wife is the way your daddy treated your mommy. When you are married. Why? Because that's the only example you've seen. And it worked because when he shouts at us, he keeps quiet. Or you can take principles like Obinu, if you know her. So you could have imbibed those principles and believe that that is the way to live. Amen. But when the Holy Spirit begins to work in you, you will not just be a good husband, you won't just be a good father. You'll be a good neighbor. You'll be a good friend. You'll be a good Nigerian. Honestly. You know, the way I see, when I'm driving, the way I see Nigerian drivers struggle for the road, I used to pity them. Because I see, if I don't pass now, I will die. So if you come to my father, I will crush you. I will wait. I will let him go. This has a problem. Brethren, this is where the Holy Spirit will always start from. If he wants to work in you, if he wants to work with you, where he will start from is to produce in you love. Ability to love God. Amen. Ability to love others. But most importantly, what it will do first of all for you, when we say it will produce love, it will produce God's love for you, to you. You know, the other two that I'm talking about is response. Love God, you are responding. Is it not so? Love your neighbor, you are what? You are responding. You are giving out. You get what I mean? But the first thing it will produce in you is to infuse in your heart the love of God, to assure you of how much you are loved. Whoever experienced this thing when you first got born again, whatever you want, after you pray small, what happens? There's an answer. That's how he wants to continue with you. Hey, but what now happened along the line? Because you didn't know that people grow. Amen. And sometimes because he wants to teach us patience, when you ask for something, because the time is not due, or what you're asking for is like fish that has bone. Amen. For in every blessing, there's bone. Amen. Now, if you're not mature enough to handle it, you get choked. And since he doesn't want you to choke, what will he do now? Instead of giving you the whole shower, you know that whole big shower, and you just choke and just die. He will cut it, then give you bits and pieces after removing the bones. When you're older, he can start giving you with bones. Because he knows you know how to be moved. What then is love? Love is the selfless, sincere, intentional, genuine, tender, and compassionate devotion. Love is the selfless, sincere, intentional, genuine, tender, and compassionate devotion to the well-being, and happiness of another person. I want you to read for me, Amplified Bible, Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. It is a selfless, sincere, intentional, genuine, tender, and compassionate devotion to the well-being and happiness of another person. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to verse 10.
Romans 13, 8.
Hold on, please. Are we all there? I want you to open your Bible to Romans 13 and verse 8 to 10. Yes.
Owe nothing to anyone except to love and seek the best for one another.
Owe nothing to anyone. Don't owe people money. Don't owe them favors. Don't owe them anything except to love and to seek the best for one another. Yes?
For he who unselfishly loves his neighbor.
For he who unselfishly loves his neighbor
has fulfilled the essence of the law.
Has fulfilled the essence of the law.
Relating to one's fellow man.
Yes.
The commandment.
Yes.
You shall not commit adultery.
Yes.
You shall not murder.
Yes.
You shall not steal.
Yes.
You shall not covet.
Yes.
And any other commandment are summed up in this statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
Love does no wrong to a neighbor.
Yes.
That is, it never hurts anyone.
Yes.
Therefore, unselfish love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen. Are we getting that now? But what I'm even saying is that before you even come to the third level of love, to the what? Because the first level of love is the Holy Spirit showing you God loves you. Amen. The second level is now Him helping you to be able to love God back and first. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Okay? And the third is what now? You are able to love your neighbor as yourself. See, God is not a taskmaster. He will never ask you for something that you have not already made provisions for. I grew up a depressed person. Amen. Because I didn't come from a happy family. So I poured all my emotions, all my sadness and all of that into work. Because I'm an artist, I know how to draw. Poured it all there. As soon as I'm doing that, I'm shut off from the world. So I can be doing my own thing. So even up till now, I can be in the same house for 2 weeks. As long as I have electricity, I have internet access, I have what I can work with. You even know I'm around. Amen. Until the day, as I was reading my Bible, when I saw how much God loves me, I was healed. I was healed of spiritual and emotional sicknesses and diseases that I didn't know I had. See, as I am like this, I don't wish I'm like anybody. I don't wish somebody should have been my father. Maybe my life would have been better. I used to be like that, but I'm no longer like that. There's nobody I'm competing with. There's nobody that will buy something now, or will have something now, or get a position now, and I will feel threatened. Yeah. Why? I know how much I'm loved. I will come back to explain this definition of love. But because I don't want to start from there, I made a mistake earlier. I said somewhere in Romans 9. It's actually Romans 13. Okay? That's the passage that we just read. He that does not know, believe, and experience the love of God for himself can never love his fellow man. Amen. He that is not ready to obey the first two greatest commandments, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, can never experience the love of God. Amen. So, what am I saying? The moment I get born again, the Holy Spirit wants to work in me. Okay? But if I'm not ready to obey the word of God, the Holy Spirit will not even show me the love of God. And when I say the word of God, I'm talking about the two greatest commandments. If I don't want to put God first. Huh? And that's why, see, I don't know about you, but I want to ask you. If you are here in your life, you want to stop struggling. You don't want to struggle again about anything. Put up your hand. Thank you. Put down your hand. The only way not to struggle is to allow God to work for you, to work on your behalf. Why? Because He loves you. Are you getting it now? Every time we try to do something for ourselves, you will struggle. See, I have seen God in my life. I have seen how much I'm loved. So it's an encouragement to prayer. If somebody loves you, brother and uncle, and you can't tell me that you have never experienced this before, that there's nobody, even if it's not your daddy, one uncle will like you and he will dote over you, or one aunt. Abby? If somebody loves you, and it is in their power to do what you're asking them, what do you normally see happen? When you ask, what happens? They provide it. Particularly if it's what they are able to do. Now, what can God not do? And when people love, it's natural where there's love for there to be giving. Love naturally gives. You may give without loving, okay? But you cannot love without giving. Okay? Now, in the plan and purpose of God, He intends to overwhelm you with blessing. You know, I'm not somebody that preaches blessing. But He intends to overwhelm you with blessing. All He needs you to do is just stop struggling. God is saying, I want to help you. Come, you're an actor, or you're a drama minister, so you can help us play it out very well. Let's say this is God. Let's say I want to achieve something. I want to get to that point. Okay? Where those sisters are seated. I hope you can move your head that you can see us. So, and God is saying, okay, let me go ahead of you so I can clear the way for you. I want to show you what we normally do. We are God. We're going ahead. So after a while, He leaves you. There's no point. God is a gentleman. Whatever you have not invited Him into, He does not poke nose. And I'm speaking that to you on an experience of working with God for over 20 years. He doesn't. Once you are struggling, He leaves you. Since you want to struggle. And why do we struggle? Because somewhere deep, deep down inside the flesh, there's this belief. Everybody will fail me, including God. But I know I can't fail myself. Everybody may forget me, including God. But I cannot forget myself. The entire principle of the world system is based on this belief that I just told you. Selfishness, self-interest. Self-centeredness. That's what it's based upon. Amen. Where it must begin from is that you must be able to see and understand that God loves you. And you must be able to accept and believe and put your faith in the fact that He loves you. That's where it must start from. See, there's nobody alive I wish I preach like, for instance, even as I'm in ministry now. There's nobody I wish I'm like them. You know, if only I'm just like this. If only I'm living in America now. If only my father was Bill Gates. If only Fashola was my father. God forbid. No. God is already my father. Who else is higher than Him? Once the Lord told me, I can never love you more than how I love you. For I love you more than life itself. You are the one that will grow up to discover how much I love you. I can never love you more. For there's no more. You don't understand. There's no what? The peak of what love is. That's how much I love you. But you don't know it. I don't know why the Holy Spirit deliberately slowed me down to spend so much time on it. Because once you miss this one, all the other ones, if you want to start to do them, you'll be doing religion. You'll now be conscious that you are patient. If not that I'm patient, that's what you'll be saying. No, patience must come from the foundation of a life that is loved. So you know at the end of it all things, how many things, will work for your good. Because you love God and you are called according to His purposes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Yes, very quickly.
First John 4:16.
Yes.
If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death.
Where are you?
1 John.
4:16.
Okay, sorry.
Ah.
And we have known and believed that and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God.
Amplified Bible.
Amplified. We have come to know by personal observation and experience.
We have come to know by personal observation and by experience.
And have believed.
And we have believed.
With deep, consistent faith.
With deep, consistent faith.
The love which God has for us.
The love that God has for us.
God is love.
God is love.
And the one who abides in love abides in God.
Amen.
And God abides in him continually.
Amen. Now, look at that scripture, whatever translation you have. It says, we have what? Known. Is that not what he said? That's number one. Number two is that what? We have believed. The love that God has for us. Now, how are we going to know? Because God showed that love to us. Romans 5 verse 6. Very quickly. I'm talking about how to know. But this is the first thing that must happen if you will ever be fruitful. And this is something that the Holy Spirit really, really wants to show.
Romans 5, 6.
16. Sorry, 5, 6, sorry. Go ahead.
5, 6.
Yes.
For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Read from 5. Read from 5.
Okay. Now, hope does not disappoint.
Yes.
Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Who is the person that pours this love?
The Holy Spirit.
Huh? Who is the person?
Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of God is the one that pours the love of God in our hearts. Okay? Okay? Are we agreeing on that? Now, if I want to begin to experience the love of God, what do I need to do with the Holy Spirit? Huh? You said that you don't know, or because you are saying different things. Huh? Allow him to work in us. You said? Huh? Commune with him. That's still sounding very big. I want something simple. That, huh? Be in tune with him. Walk with him. Be friends with him. Let's use very simple. So I don't want to use theological language. If I'm teaching pastors, I can stay with, you know, commune, depend, and all of those big grammar. I want people to get it. I want you to walk away from here, able to walk with God. Okay? If we want him to pour this love in our hearts, what do we need to do? We need to befriend him. Now, if you are befriending somebody, what do you do? Let's say you are attempting to initiate friendship with somebody else. What are the things you will do to become the person's friend? Yes? You talk more with the person? Yes? Huh? Spend time with the person? Move closer to the person? Yes? Ask questions, maybe about the things that concern that person. Are you getting it now? Yes? Open up yourself to the person, because if you want to befriend somebody, you're coming closer. So we understand what it means now to surrender to the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. The whole concept is so that he can be free to do his work. See, the moment he works out love in your heart and all of that, how will you feel empty? How will you see somebody else's wife and you want to sleep with the person? Are you getting it? How will you see what does not belong to you and you wish that by every means you will get it? But that's poverty. What is that? For who owns everything? God. If you want, what do you simply do? I was asking David, why did you take Uriah's wife? I gave you Saul's wives, plus the ones you had before. If you wanted more, you could have just simply asked. That was what God said. So why is it that this one that does not belong to you, Loju Ewo, I will punish you? Amen. What is it that you want? You just simply ask. And if it does not give you, it's because you are not mature enough yet to handle it. That's the only reason. It's not because there's recession and God is counting how much he has since he has to pay salaries to angels. No. It's not because of recession. If he's not giving you yet, it's because maybe you're not grown enough yet to handle it. And he will assure you that he will give you when it is time. We have known. May you know it today in Jesus' name. You are reading on. Go on. You are not done yet. That passage.
Verse 6.
Yes.
For when we were still without strength.
When we were still without strength.
In due time.
In due time.
Christ died for the ungodly.
Christ died for the ungodly. Go ahead.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die.
People don't die for righteous people. Say, my head is nice God. They say, will you die for him? Say, no. I don't want to die. Yes.
Yet. Perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die.
Yes.
But God demonstrates his own love towards
God
us.
God showed us his own love this way.
In that while we were still sinners,
even when we were still his enemies,
Christ died for us.
That was when Jesus died. When did Jesus die? Even when we were still the enemies of God. And that's why I tell people, when they say, hey, my wife, my life's too much. If I'm counseling married people. You know, I'm just tired. I just want to end it. I will say, open that place. When are you supposed to love her? You yourself, when did Jesus die for you? Were you always obedient? It's while we're yet sinners that he died for us. Read on.
Verse 9. Much more than.
Much more
having
than.
Having now been justified by
having
his blood.
Having now been justified by what?
His blood.
By what?
His blood.
Yes.
We shall be saved from wrath through him.
Yes.
For if when we were enemies.
If when we were enemies.
We were reconciled to God.
We were brought back to God.
Through the death of his son.
Through the death of his son.
Much more.
Much more.
Having been reconciled.
Having now been reconciled with
we
God.
We shall be saved by his life.
Of course we'll be saved by his life. If you have NLT or Living Bible, read that verse 10.
Verse 10.
Yes, go ahead. Let him read. Go ahead. Since we were restored back to God by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment now that he has come back to life again. How much does God love me? That's the question. And I said, he loves you more than life itself. And he has proved it. For God so loved. What's your name? Oh yeah, let us all quote John 3:16. Don't put the word. Put your name. Huh? Is it trees and birds that Jesus came to die for? No, it is you and me. For God, 1, 2, 3, go. For God so loved Abraham that he gave his only begotten son that if Abraham will believe, he will not perish. But it will have everlasting life. I don't have time. Amen. I don't have time. If I had time, I would have sat with, what's the meaning of eternal life? Everything that Adam had and lost is inside eternal life, plus more. Amen. Everything that Adam had and lost, plus more, is inside eternal life. And that's what he was offering. Every conductor that you see, every agbero that's bouncing like this, Jesus is still pursuing him. Come and take. Stop struggling. Even you here, that's what he's still offering you. He so much loved you, he gave his son. He so much considered you valuable, he was willing to pay a price that high. That God, the Word, will come in the form of a human being to come and die so that he can redeem you back, so that he can buy you back, so that he can become his property back. I always say, what is the most difficult thing you can give to anybody? That which, if you give everybody what you have, you will keep that one. Huh? Life. Is it not so? What was the first thing he gave? Life. Romans 8:32.
Romans 8:32.
Yes.
He who did not spare his own son.
Yes.
But delivered him up for us all.
Yes.
How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
He that did not spare his own son. Huh? But freely gave his son for you and for me so that we can have him. How will he not also with his son freely give us all things? If the most expensive gift to give is life, and the most expensive is the first he gave, what else can God give you that is higher than Jesus? Oh yeah, let's start mentioning things that we want from God. Camry 2016. Is car higher than Jesus? What about a whole country that he gives you, Nigeria? Is that higher than Jesus? No. So it says, start saying what you want. Now start saying what you want. Let us see how difficult it will be for God to give you. Start saying what you want. Oh yeah. Oh yeah now. Why do you look as if you are in the spirit? Eh? Oh yeah, yeah. Ask me. What is it that you want? You, what do you want? Since you don't want to talk. What is it that if you have now, you'll be very happy? Huh? Your doctorate, okay? Increased GP, okay. Money, okay. Yes, you. You don't know what you want presently, okay. Who knows what he wants presently? Because I'm about to pray for you, yes? Eh? An ESV. Is that a Bible? What's ESV? I didn't hear him. Oh, okay. Is that your, like, a certificate or something? Okay. Who else? What do you want? What is it that you want? Who wants admission? Okay. What do you want? You want your school to be established. You want to establish a school. Okay. What do you want? I'm sorry? Is that what? I can't hear. You want to go to his film academy, okay? What do you want, Bro Mike? Huh? A lucrative job, okay? Bro Kayode, what do you want? To be able to be a master at your work, okay? What do you want? Huh? A lucrative business or job, okay? Same thing for you. What do you want, Kennedy? To be a master in your field. Okay. Is there someone that he wants to add? What do you want? More of God. Okay. No. Okay. I have had you, but I'm even saying physical things. What do you want? Okay. I don't know. What does that one mean? No. So that I don't. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of mind is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Peace of mind is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If the one you are talking about is called lower that so that can but I won't pray that one. Because I'm sending you back into the world if I'm praying that one. Okay? Okay? So does anybody else want to add anything before I go ahead? Yes? Huh? IT placement. Okay? All round rest. Okay. Success in the exam they're about to write to. Okay? You ought to be fruitful spiritually. But make it back home. Okay. Who else? Is there nobody there that wants to add anything? That's not. I'm not saying you should just talk. I'm saying, what is that? If God does it for you now, you'll be very happy. Huh? She wants twins. Okay. Ah. Why can't we are the one asking twins for her? He told you. I don't care, what do you want? Huh? He doesn't know. Brother Moses, what do you want?
You want house and money. Okay. What do you want? Speak up. What do you want? I can't hear you. You want a good marriage and you want to be strong spiritually, okay? You want a computer. All that you have asked, if you put it together, okay, or should I come to this side? What do you want, Joshua? Okay. That's all. That's all, Abby. What do you want? Because, do you know what I want to say next? You don't know, but this is what God is saying, as you say. What is it that you want? Because I want to prove to you that you are loved. Okay. You don't want a car for your family? Okay. Well, that means we can skip it. Yes. Brashek, what do you want? All that he wants you to be in him and in life. Okay. Yes. You want to? Okay. You want to venture into business and you want his blessing. Okay. Is that all? Or is there still more? Okay. Is it good? And what? It should establish your business for you. Okay. Is that all? Marriage and your debt paid. Okay. Yes. Huh? Good job and a good marriage. Okay. You want God to bless your dad. Okay. You want to be best in your profession. Okay. Mr. Abile. Why did you escape? What do you want? Okay. Now, we've all gotten those things down, Abby. I want you to write them down. Huh? Write them down. But where I'm going is this. If we sum up everything that you have asked for, is it up to Jesus' one finger or what you have asked for? What did he give you first? Huh? His life. Is it not so? If I am a servant of God, and I know I am, I decree in the name of Jesus, as a proof to you that God is true. Huh? As soon as possible, as soon as what you are asking for is needed, it is done. Amen. You will come back and testify. You will see, it's not, those things are not anything. It doesn't cost God. The Lord told me once, said, I don't need to use more power to heal cancer than I need to use to heal headache. Amen. He does not need to roll his sleeves to answer you. He doesn't. The problem is always, man doesn't know how much he's loved. So he keeps doubting God, keeps wondering, keeps doing this, keeps doing that. I am learning to rest in God. That's what I'm learning to do. I'm learning to just rest in him. So what are the kind of things we ask him for? We ask him for singlet. We ask him for pants. Amen. We ask him for trousers. We ask for shirt. We ask for money for fuel for car. Amen. We ask for money, you know, to do this, money to do that. We ask for his presence. We ask for his blessing. I ask him. In fact, I still ask that one. I think I told you that yesterday. Lord, this work that I'm doing, the owner caused him to love it. And they love it. All that you have asked for, I decree them approved in the name of Jesus Christ. It's just to show you that your needs cannot threaten the resources of heaven. And much more than all those things that you're asking for, he wants to give you more. But he wants you to grow up so that he won't bless you and you go to hell. Missionaries, did we pray or not that God should feed us in this retreat? Huh? Did we have money when we were praying? What is going to happen today? Since when have we been eating? Yes, you know you have been taking gala and all of that. You will not take gala today. Amen. Was it because we calculated and took offering? Was that why? Huh? What did I say that day when we were in that prayer meeting? I said, why are you people have you quickly bringing a calculator? Hey, if people come. I said, put the bill on God. Put it on him. Me, that's how I live my life. Oh. So my life is very easy. If I ask him for something, even if it is the latest or whatever, maybe because I need it for maybe my work or whatever, okay? As long as they need, he will give me, he may not give me immediately. And I'm not saying, hey, I will now take time and be saving money. No. Many times when those things come, they come free of charge and they'll be very expensive. Amen. He loves you. If he did not spare his own son, and who can quantify what Jesus is worth? The prince of all the kings of the whole earth. Can you quantify what he's worth? God, the Word, the second person of the Godhead. Can you quantify what it's worth? So, if as priceless as Jesus is, it was his life that God gave you first, your first contact with him, that's you, Jesus. Oh yeah, now, tell me what is difficult, what is more difficult to give than Jesus. And it's only love that can do that. Honestly, I don't know how much I can explain to you that he loves you. He loves you. Not because he will get anything from you. Not because there's anything that you can do for him. But because he chose to make you the object of his love. All what you are running up and down for, if you will settle in him, he will give you. He will give you. If you ask me, I'm filled with so much testimonies. I have learned to stop being capable in myself. Amen. I've learned to what? So that his power can be at work for me. I've learned to stop struggling. And that's why I keep saying the presence of struggle is the absence of grace. If you are struggling, it's because you know you have not known how much he loves you. I do it in those days when I was growing up, even before I had a car. I do it with if I want to enter bus. And we are plenty at the bus stop. And I know as a Christian, I'm not supposed to rush and fight people. Am I supposed to do that? Imagine that as I'm trying to fight, it was you I'm fighting. I say, bless you. So I say, Lord, where I'm going, I need to get there on time. Lord, can you please provide a bus? Many times, the prayer would not have finished in my mouth when a bus would stop right in front of me. I will enter in as a prince is supposed to enter in. And all the strugglers will begin to punch themselves and fight to come in. Amen. Stop struggling. He loves you. I've not yet explained, and we have to pray. I've not yet explained loving your neighbor as yourself. I've not yet explained what it means to love God back. Because I want you to get this one first. He loves you. And don't let any devil tell you otherwise. What kind of love? And that's what I'll wrap up on and we'll pray, okay? He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Is God not an everlasting God? What did he say he loves you with? When will everlasting love end? Huh? And he said, with loving kindness have I drawn you to myself. But what kind of love does he love me? If you are saying, I should know it. Ephesians 2 verse 4. And when you've read it, I will want it in Amplified Classic. Yes? Who is reading?
Ephesians 2 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us,
go ahead.
Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved.
Amen. What kind of love does God have for you?
Everlasting.
It's in your Bible now. It's in your Bible. Oh, yeah. What kind of love? That verse 4. Great love. Read it from Amplified Bible.
Verse 4. But God, being very rich in mercy, because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead.
No. What? Which amplified is that one? It's more than that. It's more than that.
But God so rich.
But God so God rich is he in mercy.
Is he in mercy?
Yes.
Because of and
because
in order
of,
to satisfy.
And in order to satisfy.
The great and wonderful.
The great and wonderful.
And intense love.
And intense love. When you say somebody loves you intensely, what are we talking about? Huh? What are we talking about? That he loves her intensely. You know, he loves her is good enough already. But intense. Can you see passion? Huh? Because he wants to satisfy that love that he has for us. What then did he do? He saved us. So that we can officially be where he can bless us. Instead of Satan coming and be accusing you of this and accusing you of that. Ephesians 1 verse 5, verse 11, Living Bible. I'm trying to wrap up with these points about how much God loves us. Is that Ephesians 1 5? She's reading verse 5 now. God's unchanging plan has always been. Now, when you say always been, and you say unchanging, this morning, what are we saying? Has that plan changed? His unchanging plan has always been what? His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family. Please, wait. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. What has God's plan always been? All the reason why I want you to be born again. Why? Is it so that you can become a worker in church? Why? So that you can officially be a member of his family. Let me explore that. See, because many times it's difficult for us to understand these things. If somebody is Ambode's son, how will he be walking up and down in Lagos? Huh? Ah, would they not be like, it is my father that is in charge of this place? Huh? Compared to God, who is Ambode? Huh? May you begin to answer your name in Jesus' name. Because if somebody adopts you, there will be a change of name. So what's your name now, actually? No, my name is Abraham God. What is your name? Because, or let me put it very well, Abraham God Almighty. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not God. But if my father is God, then that means that, well, that means my name. So what you say, I am Mr. A God Almighty. Amen. I want you to understand it so that you can walk and reason and live as you are meant to live. There's nothing that he does not have. There's nothing that he does not own. See, geologists, they say that the way the earth is made, everything is made to only support human life. The weather, the cold, the heat, everything is in perfect proportion just to support human life. You are reading. Is that all that's in verse 5? Okay. By sending Jesus to die for us. Yes. And God did this because he wanted to, not because somebody forced him. Even long before you were born, he had fixed his eyes on you, planned for your life, and his plan was in love. His plan was in what? Yes?
Moreover,
that's verse 11, Abi.
Yes, sir. Because of what Christ has done.
Because of what Jesus has achieved.
We have become gifts to God.
We have become gifts to God.
That he delights in.
What's this one that you're reading? Living Bible. No? Is it NLT first edition? No. Please, read from first edition for me. NLT. That verse 11. Are you sure it's first edition? 1996 edition of NLT?
No.
Is that what you have? Elijah? Okay. Let me... Don't worry. I'll look for it now.
Because we are united with Christ, we have received
an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan.
That's not the translation I want. I read it in a translation that blessed me, you know. Okay. Yes. Sorry, I found it. It is actually Amplified Classic that I read that verse 11 in. I'm sorry. I thought it was Living Bible. Yes, it says, in him, that is in Jesus, we also were made God's heritage, that is God's portion. And we obtained an inheritance. For we had been foreordained, chosen and appointed beforehand in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. We were planned for in love. Amen. How are we planned for? Where we are going to live, how many children we will have, as long as we live in obedience to him, how our lives will be. We're planned for in love. Not only is God your father, Jesus Christ is now your elder brother. Now, my issue is, it's not that we don't know some of these things, but I'm saying practice it. Behave now as if Jesus is your brother. And his plans for us, his desires for us, the way he intends to bless us, goes beyond this world. Even into eternity. There's what he has planned to give to us. That's how he has planned to bless us. How come in the age of ages, when everything has ended and everything has been reunited under God's rule, how come he intends to make us to sit as rulers with Jesus, to rule over the entire creation, including all angels? What manner of love is this? That's how much you have been loved. And as we pray now, I want you to pray and ask him, Lord, let the revelation of your love for me dawn upon me. Let it dawn on me. Let it dawn on me. Let it be clear to me. Honestly, when it's clear to you, your life becomes very easy. Let the revelation of your love dawn on me, so that the work of the Holy Spirit will go on in my life without hindrance. I will stop wrestling with him and fighting him as he's trying to produce the character of God in me. Reveal to me your love for me. Yes, I've learned these things, but Lord, make it my own. So that having you alone, I'll be contented. Having you alone, I'll know I don't need to doubt you. I don't need to disbelieve you. So that I can rest in you. So that even in darkness, when you say jump and I don't know where I will fall to, it seems you are the one that's saying jump, so that I'll be willingly. So that I'll be willing to jump, and I'll jump willingly. The Bible says to me that you love me with a great love. Great love. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name, to respond to your love. Help me to respond to your love. Even in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Brethren, I want to use the analogy of the relationship of a man and a woman to explain God's love, okay? When a man loves a woman, I'm talking plainly, okay? He may be pursuing her, Abby? And she may be doing NACO and doing all of those things. When finally she agrees that she wants to give him a chance, she gives him a chance by trusting him. I don't know if I'm making sense. Maybe try, when I say trusting him, what I mean by that is, she tests him so that if he passes that test, what happens now? Then she trusts him. Then test him more. What happens now? Trust him more. Test him more. Trust him more. Or maybe the way I should put it is, taste him. Do you get what I mean by that? That you try him. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you, as you bend your head to pray now, commit into his hands whatever that troubles you now. Whatever that's a concern for you now. Whatever that is a worry now. Whatever it is that you would want done.
ask him. So that when he does it, it will be easier for you to trust him more. Because he's trustworthy. Brethren, I'm not just telling you something I have not touched. I'm not just telling you something because I have to preach. No. I'm telling you what I have touched. I'm telling you what I've experienced in my own life. I'm telling you what I'm experiencing. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, learn of me and you will find rest for your soul. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Whatever that is a concern, whatever that is a burden, whatever that is giving you anxiety, whatever that bothers you, whatever you are afraid of, release them to him. And you will see how you respond on time to them because he loves you. Because he loves you. Just because he loves you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. That we have said amen and they are going to be serving you food now, don't stop talking in your heart to him. Huh? This is how to walk with God. You will pray, and when you pray through, there will be peace. Or if you have walked with God up to that level, he will give you a promise. Huh? Or maybe when you open your Bible, you will see an answer. I always tell people close to me, God is not committed to any matter until he speaks to you. Once he speaks to you about that matter, you can even go and do thanksgiving. When they say, what's your problem? You say, God has made a promise to me. For he will always keep his word. I have found him to be so. Don't allow smell of rice and meat to remove the things that are burdens in your heart. Do you understand? Talk to him. Wait for that assuring voice. That's the meaning of prayer. Prayer is a communication. It's not a monologue. It's not one person saying, Oluwa, whether he has had or not, you don't know. That's not prayer. Prayer is after you said your own, you listen to him, he will respond to you, he will answer you back. May the Lord give you peace in the name of Jesus.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8305-8, 080-813-3-8536. 080-745-5817.
081-4099-1321. Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?